Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success. Welcome everyone to today's episode. I am thrilled to have you here, and I'm also thrilled to have Sherry Andrew with us. She's a financial coach. Her company is Money Mindset. So I can't wait to learn more about that. So welcome to the show, Sherry. It's lovely to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
That's going to be good. So let's start out with how did you become a financial coach? How was that journey for you?
It wasn't even on my radar. I didn't know the profession existed. I was just going along, doing my thing, working in factory life as a supervisor, working shift work. And then one day, almost 17 years in, somebody decided that I didn't have a job anymore and got notified on a Monday morning and went through all of the emotions, shock, overwhelm, stress, and then quickly pivoted to, okay, things have to change with our money pretty quickly because our household income just dropped significantly. So what can we do? And before I got fired, I thought we were budgeting, but what we were really doing was tracking our spending. And I, either a blessing or a curse, could work overtime as much as I wanted to help offset increased spending. So that we weren't budgeting. I was managing my overtime to align with our spending. And then fast forward, my husband's on a salary. We didn't have the ability to increase income. So I spent a lot of time diving deep and cutting everything that wasn't 100% essential to align our income to our expenses. And then through the support of a career coach, that was the first step into realizing how powerful coaching was. She challenged me to think about what my next step would be. And we were doing interviews and resumes and all of those traditional things to get back into the working world. And after a prepaid for trip to Peru to hike the Inca Trail with a bunch of strangers, I realized on that trip that people were vacationing for the joy of vacation and not to escape their careers and their lives. And that was the first time that had ever crossed my radar. And having that realization with my career coach, she then has like said, well, what does that look like for you? What is something that's a career that you enjoy? And I'm like, I don't know, I'm really enjoying this money stuff, learning about it. Is there a career in that? And I immediately dismissed it. And she's like, no, we're going to do some homework. So I did the homework and found first financial counseling and then financial coaching, and decided to take the leap and invested in some education and started my business about 11 months after I got fired. So it was a journey that went fast, but I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you get to the lowest lows and you think, oh, and then you kind of step above it and you think, well, hang on a minute. Yeah, what is next? And maybe I can decide what's next. And I love that you got a career coach, because as you know, we are big fans of coaches. We are coaches and big fans. So that was a really smart move, because you can try and do a lot of research on your own, but having that person there to help guide you and to help you make decisions that you have trouble making on your own is so smart. And I love some of the distinctions you made: budgeting versus tracking your money. Two totally different things that people would think are the same. And then people on vacation for the joy of being on vacation versus an escape from your everyday life. That's amazing. I think some people do need to go to Peru, perhaps, to figure out what they really want to do. So that's fantastic. So tell us a little bit about your business. Tell us like what you do, what kind of people come to you for help, and how do you help them?
I focus mainly on helping folks with ADHD, having been late diagnosed myself and going through the, how am I able to manage my money successfully with ADHD? And yes, it's a hyper focus and a passion, but when I started to understand it more, looking at the systems that I have and the things that I do from a financial management perspective, they align with what the challenges are for many ADHD folks with their money. And focusing a lot on helping service-based entrepreneurs as well, because when you are an entrepreneur, that complicates the money so much more. And then when you add in entrepreneurship with ADHD and money management, it can really be chaotic. But being able to have, okay, when I do this, I know I have to do this, this, and this, or even better, we're automating things. So I'm helping my clients see budgeting differently so that they understand that it's telling their money where to go and putting it where they want it to go versus it being about restriction and not being able to do the things they love. You can do everything, but you can't do everything right now, and you can't have seven priorities. When you get focused on one or two financial goals and have the systems to make managing your money easier, and it can involve tracking. If you tell somebody with ADHD, oh, you have to track every dollar that you spend, they're going to quickly rebel against that, and it's not going to work. So having those strategies that allow you to spend on the things you enjoy and have some rough boundaries around things, but not brick walls around your spending. It's like you can never do this.
I love that. My son has ADHD, and I've tried the budgeting with him, and it just doesn't sink in. He's like, no, it's not gonna happen. Love him to pieces. But yeah, and I think you brought up a good point as well that budgeting doesn't have to be just have to's. You can put a little bit aside for fun or for, breathing room for, so you don't feel deprived. And I think that's a really important piece of it.
100%. Having money that you have permission to spend on whatever you want can be so freeing and can be outside of what people think of budgeting. Budgeting isn't about just spending on whatever I want. Well, it can be if you've got money set aside and you automate putting a little bit of money aside every time you get paid. And as an entrepreneur, to take that a step further, having a system where you get paid consistently, not with the ebbs and flows of your month-to-month business income, because that really is the main source of chaos for entrepreneurs. Like, I had a great month. I'm gonna go spend like crazy. Well, and then the next month, I didn't have a very great month, and now I'm gonna have to pinch and scrimp and not do anything and maybe add to my debt. It's so much stress, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And also we work with real estate agents and it's the same thing. You can't predict how many transactions you're going to do in a month. So you and there are going to be ebbs and flows in the different seasons. So you absolutely have to plan for that. And I remember reading a book and it was a story about a girl whose dad was in the construction industry, and she said, he would build neighborhoods. And so when he signed a contract, we'd be living large. We'd be going out to eat. We'd be going on trips. And then by the end of the contract, we're eating ramen noodles again. So, it's important to let's level that out a little bit.
Real estate agents, bless their hearts. Real estate agents can be the most challenging. I've worked with a couple, and it's the extreme highs and lows of income when you compare it to a coach who, yes, the income's going to be variable, but it's probably not going to be as variable as a real estate agent who maybe you get a commission of $50,000 this month and you don't get any next month. And that can create even more challenge, but with the right systems, it doesn't have to. You can be on a consistent salary from your business and, dare I say, excited to do your taxes because you've got money saved. And I focus on helping my clients save a little bit more than we think they're going to need. So picture tax time. You get your tax bill and you look at what you've already paid in installments and you look at what you have still saved in your tax savings account, and there's $3,000 extra. You can pay yourself a $3,000 bonus, and it's a reward for saving and getting your taxes done. And it's such a shift from people who typically avoid getting their taxes done because they're worried about the stress and all the extra work. But if I do the taxes, I could get $3,000 or maybe even more. That's motivating.
I love that. Yeah. We have you heard of the book Profit First?
Yes, I have. I have it right here.
I have it right.
And it is the foundation of the system that I use for my business financial management, with some tweaks that make it easier and lower lift and a lower time commitment than their traditional recommendations, but they're very similar.
Yeah, I love the idea that, you pay yourself first. And then it's like, okay, well, but now I've got to save enough to pay everybody else who works for me, right? Good stuff. We actually, my business partner and I joke that almost all entrepreneurs are some form of ADD or ADHD because we jump in, we like to get involved in all these different things. We do have trouble staying focused on one thing because we're enjoying ourselves so much. So,
Yeah, there is a very high percentage of folks with ADHD that are entrepreneurs because we do like to take a step and do things that are challenging, and we don't like to be told what to do. And all of those things of traditional employment, rigid schedules, they don't really work for us. And on the financial side, there's something really powerful when you tell an entrepreneur with ADHD to save for taxes, cover your business expenses, pay yourself the salary that you know you need to cover the personal side, you need to earn this much on average per month. Sometimes it's a shock because it's a much higher amount than they anticipated, but very often they're like, okay, let me figure it out. And then a month or 2 months down the road, they're like, oh, I exceeded that by 25%. I see it so often with my ADHD entrepreneur clients. They're like, oh, yeah, I had, the best month I've ever had in my business. It's like, well, how did that happen? Well, I knew what I needed to make and I got focused.
I love that. Yeah. Once you have that number, sometimes that's all it takes. So tell us a little bit. You said you work with ADHD clients and businesses. Is there any other commonality between them?
Percentage are women, but there's not a strict focus for me one way or the other. I think it's just female entrepreneurs tend to feel more connected with me. I do a lot of sharing in a vulnerable way on social media and how people feel comfortable with me, which is important. And I also feel like a lot of women have had situations where they've reached out to financial experts and come away with a really bad taste in their mouth and didn't feel comfortable asking somebody questions. And I really want to create a safe space for people, when women specifically, to have somebody they can talk to and have those open conversations about money where they walk away feeling better about themselves, having a clear understanding and really feeling comfortable.
I love that. We actually have an outsourcing program for helping women outsource their bookkeeping. And it's interesting because when we were doing the research beforehand, we reach out to entrepreneurs to ask them, what are your challenges? And there was a woman who is a multi seven-figure business owner who said, I don't like reaching out to my CPA because she always makes me feel stupid or bad. And it was like, oh my gosh, you are successful. You shouldn't be not afraid of this person, but afraid to talk to them or uncomfortable talking to them. So, it's great that there are people out there like you who can help other entrepreneurs feel good about it. I failed to introduce my co-host. I apologize. Doug Cohn is here. It's lovely to see you, Doug.
Hello, Sherry. Hi, Jeannie.
It's nice to connect with you.
I didn't know if you had any questions for Sherry.
I have one question. You just made a comment that I would summarize by saying people are goal-oriented. Do you have a particular style or strategy as to how to get someone who is ADHD to change the way they think and say, yeah, I'm going to work towards that goal? Or do they usually are they very receptive? Because there's a trust factor in that. I'm sure it can be a challenge for you. I'd love to hear a little more about that.
Yeah, a lot of it is accountability when they know I've told Sherry I'm going to do this thing, or I've put out into the world or told their spouse that they're going to do something. But really, this sounds a little, old me wouldn't have believed this. This sounds so cheesy, but when you have somebody that believes that you can achieve something, you're much more likely to work towards that goal and stay motivated. And I often see with my clients, when we first start working together, we sit down and we talk about their goals and what's important to them. And then we work to put a plan together and we talk about the systems that go along with the plan. And the first thing is having that clarity. That clarity lifts a weight from their shoulders. They're like, oh, this is a reasonable plan to manage my money that I believe will work. But then the extra piece of it is like, you're believing me that this will work. There's a financial expert that believes that I can achieve this plan that gets me to my desired financial goal at a specific timeline. And that is so motivating for somebody to be like, oh, you think I can do this? Wait, let's figure out how to do this. And then, yeah, checking in and meeting regularly with my clients. Mainly, I work with clients for at least 9 months where we're meeting consistently because that's what somebody with ADHD needs. They don't just need a plan and go forth and good luck. They need that support and they need somebody to be there for them when it goes off the rails, not if it goes off the rails, because it will go off the rails. We lose our dopamine when something's 2, 3 months old and we stop getting excited about it. But when we've got that, oh, wait, I've invested in this and I'm still working towards this goal and I'm still working with my coach, I'm going to keep going and work through the hard parts and figure out what adjustments need to happen.
Yeah, because Sherry's going to ask me about this, so I need to make sure that I do it.
Sherry has a unique set of systems in her business that help her remember what you said you were going to do, and a unique set of reminders in her phone for if you said you were going to reach out and follow up with her every Monday, she's got a reminder if she doesn't hear from you by Tuesday, and she's going to reach out.
I love that. So, can you tell us about maybe some of your clients that you've worked with? We don't need any names, obviously, but maybe where they were when they came to you, and then after you worked with them, what happened?
The biggest shift is in how they feel about their money. And that shift happens surprisingly quickly in the first month or two. And those feelings go from shame, stress, overwhelm. And I've actually had two women that I've met with in the last 3 or 4 weeks openly ask me, am I too big of a mess? Is there any coming back from this? And they were in very different situations, but for me personally, I don't think there's anybody that's in too big of a mess. There's solutions, there's options, but it's having that shift from that overwhelm and embarrassment and shame to clarity and confidence and avoidance to seeing your real numbers. Because when we're in avoidance mode, we create things because our brains go a million miles an hour. I probably have $20,000 worth of debt. It was 10 last time I looked, but I'm sure it's doubled at least by now. And then a month later, you've doubled it again in your mind. And then you go and you look. You're like, okay, it is more. It's 13, but it's not 20 or 30. So pulling back and looking at your numbers, while it feels stressful when you're in avoidance mode, it can often be like, oh, it's not as bad as I built it up in my mind.
I love that. So if the people who are listening, if they're thinking, yes, I feel like a mess, and I'm grateful that Sherry said I'm not, and then I'm not, beyond hope, what would be one thing or one step forward that you could suggest to them to just get them started on that more positive path?
The first step really is seeing what your true reality is right now so you stop catastrophizing it in your mind. Set a timer for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, sit down with a notebook or with a spreadsheet, whichever way you prefer to go, and look at exactly where you are right now. Write down all of your account balances and then go and write down all of your debt balances and then just take a deep breath. That's it. That's all you have to do. That's created that actual picture of where you are versus what you've been thinking about where you are. And that can be the first weight that lifts from your shoulders to be like, okay, I'm here. And then we can take it a step further. We've started something, we've taken the first step. Okay, how can I make these things more positive? How can I increase my savings, decrease my debt? And ADHD brains have a very good way of figuring things out.
I love that. Yeah. And I think sometimes we don't recognize, especially in business, sometimes things that we've signed up for that we don't need anymore. Maybe it was a $25 a month something, or even a $7 a month something. And you start, chipping away at those things. And all of a sudden, oh, wow, I've now got extra money in hand. So yeah, I love that. Any final questions from you, Doug, before I wrap up?
No, it's wonderful, very informative.
Yeah, Sherry sounds like she's doing some great things in the world for some people who need it. So we appreciate coaches like you. So, second to last question. How would people who are listening, like I said, who are thinking, I got to reach out to Sherry. Sherry's going to help me. I know she can. Somebody's going to believe in me. So what would be the best way for them to reach out to you?
They can connect with me on social media, and then through social media, they can find my website and all of those things if they want to explore options and connect. And when somebody is considering working with me, it's very important to me to make sure that we're aligned, that we've got that good vibe, we are going to support each other, we're going to be a good fit. So the first step, if somebody's interested in working together, is to have a free chat. Just no pressure, there's no homework. We're just talking about where you're at, seeing if we're a good fit, and then if we are, talking next step. So I'm sure you'll share the link to my Instagram account in the comments, but it's money mindset and then F as in coach, a financial, and then C as in coach. So money mindset FC on Instagram. So come and find me, and I share a lot about my day-to-day life and my stories. I'm vulnerable. I share when I screw up with my money. I share about so many different things and client wins and situations, because I just want people to know that they're not alone. We live in a world where social media shows us the highlight reels of so many people's lives, and people come to me like, I'm so far behind. This person's, I have the unique ability to see where people are financially. And I know that it's not a success highlight for everybody. Lots of people have challenges, and making people understand that they're not alone, and that having shame around money is only holding them back. And no matter who you are, where you're at, you don't suck with money. You just haven't found the strategies that work for you to be successful with managing your money yet.
I love that. Yet. And I also love that you pointed out, because, we put our best face forward typically on social media. So, yes, you might see someone go on this amazing trip, but you don't know that they're $20,000 in debt because they went on this trip. So, it's not always what it seems to be. So I love that you are open and honest. And yes, we will put links to your Instagram for sure and your website and things in the show notes so people can reach out to you real quickly. And then last question I have for you is, if you could provide the world one tip to make it a better place, what would that be?
That tip would be to not judge others for how they're spending their money or living their life, because we don't know what somebody's true life experience is. And you might see somebody buying something that you think is ridiculous. And we tend to default to thinking about, well, why would they do that? That doesn't make sense. But we don't know. Maybe that was a lifelong dream, or maybe they spent more on a car than you could ever imagine. But that car connects them to an experience with a relative in the past, or like everybody has different priorities with how they spend their money. And if you just focus on yours, you're going to be a lot less stressed, and the world will be a much better place.
That goes for a lot of things. Focus on what you're doing, not what other people are doing. That's great.
Exactly.
This has been so fun and educational, and you've inspired us all to make sure that we're looking after our money and that we have somebody in our corner. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.